right, good afternoon, everyone. It's wonderful to see everyone again. Baruch Hashem, a larger group than what I saw on Sunday. And I hope that over the last couple of days you've had a beautiful opportunity for spiritual growth, spiritual development, that you've come proficient and mitsuya anot in the various areas of love. And in Yerza Hashem, we'll be able to take these lessons that I'm sure, beautiful lessons that I'm sure you've learned over the last couple of days, and inculcate them within yourselves, within your lives, in the coming weeks, months, and years ahead. So I understand from Ms. Siegel that this is the last session, and I think in terms of understanding, and again, obviously I'm not privy to all of the different sessions you had, and so I don't know exactly what's been covered or what hasn't been covered. But when Mrs. Siegel and I spoke about this program a number of months ago, so the goal was to really build up to Ahavas Hashem. Because as we spoke about on Sunday morning in the beautiful piece by Rabbi Nachman, Likutei Moharan, Rabbi Nachman explained that one could only truly love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one could only love Hashem, if one first is able to go ahead and cultivate a profound sense of love for the self. And then after a profound sense of love for the self, remember, as we saw, everything starts with love of the self, because it's only, because again, even you can't even love the other, as we spoke about, v'ahavta l're'acha kamocha, which, remember, to love the other presupposes that a person has the ability to love themselves. So if I love myself, and again, as we spoke about, loving myself doesn't mean ignoring all of my deficiencies and shortcomings. It means acknowledging them, accepting them, finding the courage to grapple with them, but also focusing on all of the good, and then come from that to be able to appreciate the good. Remember, od ma'at ve'ein rasha. I have the ability to focus on the good in the other, albeit even if it's only just a little bit. And from that, we come to today's session with how could we cultivate a true, profound, and passionate love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're beginning. Going to begin with the pasuk number one. So Torah in Chumash Devarim says, "V'yahavta as Hashem Elokecha v'chol levavecha uv'chol nafshecha uv'chol ma'odecha." You shall love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all ma'odecha. Ma'odecha means okay, good, correct. Meaning, it means many different things. Whether it means my strengths, my abilities, my ma'od, my ability to recognize the abundance I have in my life. Pshuto shamikarashi, HaKadosh comments as it refers to my money, to my material wealth. So without getting into what it means to love HaKadosh Baruch with my heart, with my soul, with my money, this pasuk is exceptionally difficult to comprehend. Because if there is one thing that you cannot legislate, it is
love.
Remember, again, parents often make this mistake when they try to demand love from their children. You can't demand love. You could demand obedience. You could demand adherence. I, as a parent, have the right, not just the right, I'm a little bit old school, the obligation to tell my children what my expectations are of them, and they have an obligation to live up to those expectations, assuming that those expectations are reasonable and appropriate. But to demand love, to legislate love, to command love, is absolutely counterintuitive. And in fact, the Rabbeinu Mizrachi in number 2 asks this question on the pasuk. He says, "V'im tomar, heichi matzi litzavos lehov es Hashem? How can HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us to love Him? Im lo ro'a v'lo hikir af pam." So Rabbeinu Mizrahi is bothered by this on another level. You see, I'm bothered by this on a much simpler level, which is you can't legislate love. You can't tell me that I have to love you, right? Imagine trying this in any of your life relationships. Imagine if one spouse tells another, "You must love me." A friend tells another, "You must love me." There's no such thing. That's not what love is. In fact, part of the beauty of love, which I'm sure, I apologize if anything that I'm speaking about today is repetitive. I'm sure you're all experts in love by now already. But, you know, the amazing part, one of the amazing parts about love, and this is true in marital love, this is true in love of a friendship, is it's something that I give of my own volition. That's what makes it so beautiful, that I have something powerful called love to give, and I actively make a choice to give that and to share that with another. The notion of commanding or demanding love actually seems to fly in the face of part of the beauty of the love dynamic. So that's question number one. But the Mizrahi compounds this. He says, there's a bigger problem with God. You see, I can love my parents, even though, interestingly enough, the Torah doesn't require me to love my parents. But let's say Had there been a mitzvah to love my parents, there's, by the way, there's a very good reason why the Torah doesn't command me to love my parents, and that is because sometimes parents don't deserve a child's love. Sometimes, remember again, as we all know, parents, many of us know, parenting is one of the most difficult things because it's all on-the-job training. And so inevitably we end up making mistakes, and sometimes we make huge mistakes. And sometimes those mistakes cannot be undone. So for the Torah to tell a child that I have to love my parent might not deserve my love. The incredible part is, even if my parent does not deserve my love, my parent is absolutely entitled to my obedience. My parent is absolutely entitled to my honor of them. So the Rabbi Mizrahi says, but let's say, had the Torah, imagine just for a moment, that the Torah had given us a mitzvah to love my parents. So the Rabbi Mizrahi says, I could relate to that. You know I could relate to that? Because I see my parents. In fact, again, I could relate to the fact that my parents have done so much for me. I have a physical relationship with them. I see the chasadim that they have bestowed upon me throughout the years. Says Rabbi Mizrahi, number one, how can you legislate love? Number two, how can you legislate love for an entity that is amorphous, ambiguous, and ultimately unknown? Rav Soloveitchik writes, in his sefer, in his essay Bikashta Misham, he says that the incredible dynamic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, no matter how much you think you know Him, you don't know Him at all. In fact, the Rav says the incredible, what he calls the Judaic dialectic, is that the closer it appears, that sometimes the closer we get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more He appears to recede from us. Now, of course, that's not really true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never recedes from us. But that's sometimes how it appears. So Rabbeinu Mizrahi says, number one, how can you legislate love? Number two, how can you legislate love for an unknown entity? How can you legislate love for something that none of us have ever seen, that none of us have ever perceived, that none of us have ever spoken to? How can you command me, essentially, how can you command me to love something that what? That I don't know. How can you command me to love an entity that I don't really know? So there are a number, everybody's bothered. All the commentaries are bothered by this particular question. So I want to share with you, time permitting, six different approaches. Don't worry, they go quickly. So take a look at number approach number one, which is the Ibn Ezra. So the Ibn Ezra number three says something amazing. He says, Va'achar she'va'haft, or does it mean to love God? Va'achar she'in lanu eloka acher. Since we don't have any other God, Raku levado, all we have is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chayiv ata shetaveno. We should love Him. Ki ein lanu eloka acher. Because there is no other God. Sounds like, if you can't be with the one you love, then love the one you're with. Right, so, okay, if you're laughing at that joke, alright, so good. So now, the Ibn Ezra is a very strange answer, and the truth is, it doesn't even really satisfy us intellectually, spiritually, or emotionally. Because that's what the Ibn Ezra says, is look, you know, what's the choice? What's the alternative? Not to love God? Well, there's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we rely on Him for everything. So if all we have is the Ribono Shel Olam, you know what? You might as well love Him. All right, so again, like I think it's interesting, because I think what the Ibn Ezra is kind of saying is, look, when you add the question of how can we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Ibn Ezra says, presupposes that there's an alternative to loving God. And says the Ibn Ezra, there's really no alternative. All there is Avas Hashem. All there is V'Avta Las Hashem Elokecha. And therefore, again, accept it, embrace it, do it. Approach number two, the Rambam. So this is a well-known Rambam, a very beautiful idea. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisod HaTorah, he says, HaKel HaNechbot V'HaNora HaZeh Mitzvah Li'avo U'Liroso. There is a mitzvah to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yira. What does Yira mean? So this is very important. This is not our topic for today, but Mrs. Siegel, you're going to give me a little bit of license on this. Never ever translate the word Yira as fear. Yira means awe. And the reason for that is, it's not just semantics. When you fear something, by definition, you want to place a distance between yourself and the object you fear. So if I fear fire, and therefore by definition, I never get too close to the fire. So to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu is counterintuitive to our Judaic mandate. Our Judaic mandate is kirvas Hashem, to get close. On the other hand, I must place HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a pedestal. I must revere God. I must have an awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yes, that means that I can't necessarily get as close as I want to, but it's reverence, never fear. But not our topic. So the Rambam says, there is a mitzvah to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar v'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, v'nemar es Hashem Elokecha tira. So according to the Rambam, how does one come? Remember, we're trying to figure out, how can I come to love the Ribono Shel Olam? Going back to the Mizrahi, how can I come to love something that I really don't know, that I can't physically experience? Look what he writes in number 5. The Rambam writes, V'heichi aderech la'avasu uvirasu. So what is the way to come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Rambam gives a very interesting idea. The Rambam, the rationalist, writes, "Bisha'a sheyisbonin ha'adam b'ma'asav uberuav hanifloim hagedolim v'yira mehen chachmaso she'in la'erech v'lokeitz miyad hu ohev u'mishabeach u'mifa'er u'mis'ave tavo gidolo leide Hashem agadol." So the Rambam says something amazing. Do you know how you come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? By appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creations. Look at the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. Look at all that God made. Look at all that God has fashioned. And when you come to see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created, that will engender a sense of love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam's wording over here is very strong. He says, again, B'shashi is born under B'masav. When a person contemplates creation, U'beruav, and literally his, what he has created, Haniflam, Agdolav, Yirmem, Chachmasu, She'im, La'erach, locates. You could see the incredible and abundant divine wisdom. Look at the magnificent natural world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created, and says the Rambam, you can't help but be blown away, first of all, by the magnitude of creation. And by definition, that magnitude of creation engenders a sense of love. Now, why does the magnitude of creation engender a sense of love? Because I look around, I see this beautiful world, and there's something amazing, which is, who did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create it for?
Us.
Created it for us. You know, that statement of Kala Olam Nivra Bishvili. The world was created for me. It's not just referring in a spiritual sense. It means in a physical sense as well. You know, there's a famous story about the Rav Kook, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Rav Kook was stuck in Switzerland during World War I. So the story is told, although again, it has many different versions, but the story is told that one day Rav Kook went to go ahead, asked his host to take him to see the Alps. So the host was a little bit surprised. He said, here, Rav Kook, this at this point in time was the Rav of Yafo, so why does Rav Kook want to go see the Alps? You know, you live in Eretz Yisrael. So there are different versions, right? But one version goes, Rav Kook said to his host, do you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just created the Alps for the Gentiles? I mean, sometimes we have this idea, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Eretz Yisrael, you know, and Borough Park for Klal Yisrael, and everything else is for the Goyim. You know, everything else is for the nations of the world. It's not true. It's not true. There is incredible natural beauty contained in every corner of this globe, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all of that for us to experience, because every single time you experience natural beauty, it is quite literally a spiritual experience. A person goes in and sees something magnificent. That's why, again, and unless you think that I'm making this up, which I know you don't think I'm making it up, but Chazal instituted brachos about this. That's why, again, when you see natural beauty, there's a bracha. What's the bracha? Again, the truth is, it's not a totally fair question. There are different brachos to different types of natural beauties, but again, on a simple level, so there are certain foods you say, Osem Maaseh Bereishis. Osem Maaseh Bereishis. You see the Yam HaGadol, you see a great sea, and again, it's not just the Red Sea, and it's not just the Dead Sea. You see any beautiful body of water. You see magnificent sunset. You know, in countries where there's a real autumn, and you see the leaves turning different colors. It's magnificent. And the truth is, it is a spiritual experience. And I'm telling you, if you're spiritually attuned enough, so it can be as spiritual of an experience as Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur. Because you literally see the Yad Hashem. You see the hand of God literally in our world. It's the same way that those of us who have experienced the sunrise or a sunset, there's something that is just moving about it. Says the Rambam, you want to come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's very simple. Just go out and experience nature, and you will be filled with love. Now, what's very interesting about this And the truth is, if you take a look at number 6, Rav Soloveitchik writes about this as well. Now, this is from Rav Soloveitchik in a book called Worship of the Heart. Worship, now you understand, the Rav, I always find it amazing. Rav Soloveitchik has been gone for 20 years, and he's still coming out with new writings every year. It's amazing. So you have to understand something. The Rav was very reticent to put anything into writing. The Rav had incredible voluminous amounts of notes, but would never publish anything. The reason the Rav didn't want to publish was because the Rav's thoughts were constantly evolving. Rav Soloveitchik's mind was an ongoing turning wheel. That's why, you know, in the Olam HaYeshivos, in most yeshivos, so they learn a certain cycle of Gemaras. They don't go through the whole Shas. Depending on the yeshiva, there could be anywhere between 5 and 7 tractates that are studied on a cycle. So it was well known that Rav Soloveitchik, when they would go through the Machzor, they would go through the cycle, so he would be teaching the same Masechta and develop radically different thoughts and sometimes contradict that which he had taught in a previous cycle. And his Talmid and his students would say to him, Rebbe, you know, you're contradicting. He said, I'm not contradicting, I'm evolving. And that was the beauty of the Rav, that the Rav's thought was constantly changing, constantly evolving. You know, the power of the written word is that it endures for eternity. The problem with the written word is it endures for eternity. Therefore, the Rav was always hesitant to commit things to writing. That's why it's only once the Rav passed away that all of his works, by the way, it's actually interesting, it stands in contradistinction to Rav Kook. You know, if you ever visit Beit HaRav, I have to say, Eschatani Maskar, we went to Beit HaRav the first time like 5 years ago. And one of the amazing things that I saw, you know, they have Rav Kook's manuscripts on display. So if you'll notice something, Rav Kook's manuscript, it'll blow your mind. There's not one erasure. There's not one erasure. You know, I write a weekly Parsha column, and I will tell you, my wife, because she's my proofreader, it takes me hours, because I do it, and then I'm not happy with it, and then there's this word usage, so I don't have erasures either, that's because I use a computer. But the amazing part is, Rav Kook, when he wrote, it was a straight flow of consciousness. That's also, by the way, why many of Rav Kook's writings are very difficult to comprehend. Like if you try to learn, let's say, a Rosh HaTshuvah. So it's very esoteric. Rav Kook was literally, he took a pen. They also say Rav Kook did not write with Sfarim open. So literally, he would take a pen, he would take a paper. Can you imagine this? A stream of spiritual consciousness. He would just begin to write. Contradistinction to Rav Soloveitchik, which, you know, they say about the Rav. The Rav founded the Maimonides School in Boston. This is not part of my time, I just want to say. The Rav founded the Maimonides School in Boston. So the Rav used to go to speak to the kindergarten every week about the parasha, and he would come in with notes. Rav Soloveitchik is very masudar. So he would take out notes, and literally he would read off his notes to the kindergartners. That's because the Rav felt that, again, everything has to be masudar, everything has to be exact, everything has to be precise. Remember, in the world of Brisk, everything hinges on the definition and usage of words. And so by definition, there's no ad-libbing, there's no spontaneity. Everything has to be scripted, everything has to be clear, everything has to be organized. In any event, so Rav Soloveitchik over here in Worship of the Heart, which are essays on tefillah. So again, like I said, the Rav did not write these essays. These were the Rav's notes that were later on compiled into a sefer and published after his death. So in this essay, just to give you background, so the Rav speaks about the different mediums, the different ways in which we connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So one of those ways, one of those mediums he discusses is what we call the emotional medium. Of course, as you could imagine, the Rav begins with the intellectual medium, which is Talmud Torah, Torah learning. Then he goes on to what is the emotional medium? Look at number 6. So the Rav again writes, one feels the breath of infinity in the stillness of a clear starlit night when he simply perceives the great miracle of being in touch with the Creator who resides beyond the endless spaces of the flying nebula. So what is the Rav describing? He's describing what the Rambam described in number 5, just with beautiful, poetic, and polished English. Right? So the Rav essentially says, you go out, you see the starlit night, and what? And you're just, you feel, that his wording is so beautiful, you feel the breath of infinity. You feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if somebody were to ask you, can you please tell me why you are having a spiritual experience? What is it about this that is awakening, that is uplifting you? So the truth is, for most of us, it would be very difficult to put it into words because it's not an intellectual event, but rather it's a spiritual, emotional event. So according to the Rambam and according to Rav Soloveitchik, the way ultimately to come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu is by connecting with God through nature. Appreciate that which God has created, and that appreciation of divine creation will ultimately create and engender a sense of love. Third approach, the Sfas Emes. In number 7. So the Sfas Emes was Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Leib Alter, the Ger Rebbe. The Sfas Emes lived from 1847 to 1905. Interestingly enough, so the Ger Hasidim are named after their town of origin in Gur. In Gur, it's spelled, if you look at it, it's G-O with those two dots on top of it, G-O-R. Now, amazingly enough, you can still visit the kever of the Sfas Emes in Poland. Amazing enough, the Nazis, Yimach Shemam B'Zichram, destroyed almost that entire cemetery. But for some reason, the Ohel, the structure that houses the graves of the Sfas Emes and the Imre Emes, are still standing. And amazingly enough, there's one Jew left in Gur. One Jew left in Gur. Yeah, see, he's the kid. So a couple of summers ago, we came to Eretz Yisrael. We had to do a full-day stopover in Warsaw. So we had a tour in Gur. So he took us around. Last remaining Jew in the city of Gur. The only reason he stayed is to take care of the cemetery. That's why he said... Yeah, it's a tragic story on many different levels, but in any event. So take a look at the Sfas Emes, number 7. The Sfas Emes says, Va'ahavta as Hashem Elokecha. Makshim, so everyone asks, Halo Abba hu davar shebaregesh ishi. Ve'echefshar letzavos leol. So the Sfas Emes again asks, how could it be? How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us to love Him? Love is an emotion. You can't legislate emotion. U'mayaseh adam im chaser lo hergesh leol. So the Sfas Emes says, tell me, so what if I don't feel it? I don't feel it. I try to be a good observant Jew. I'm trying to fulfill the mitzvah of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What am I supposed to do? I'm just simply not feeling it. What do I do in that circumstance? Look at the Sfas Emes writes, Elanira mizeh, shebepnimiyuso shala adam mushrash hergesh shal avas Hashem. The Sfas Emes says, what the Torah is teaching us is, that contained within us is the seed to love God. Contained within us is that emotion of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All we have to do, you see that, what you know what, understand what the Sfas Emes is saying. The Sfas Emes is saying is that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do and not to do are things that are inherent within us. So for example, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me, sometimes people say, person here, like for example, lo sochlu al adam, don't eat blood. Don't eat blood. So we sometimes read this, don't eat blood. I got that one under control, right? Baruch Hashem, I have absolutely no desire to eat blood. I'm good. At least I know, Baruch Hashem, I've got one thing down pat. So the Sfas Emes is telling us that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us not to do something, it means that there is an innate desire within man to do it. That's why, for example, the Torah goes ahead and is so explicit on the code of morality, right? What do we read on Mincha on Erev Yom Kippur? Out of all the things to read on Mincha Erev Yom Kippur, we read about all the arayos, all the forbidden relationships. Now again, we understand that a person has a desire for forbidden, for immorality, but some of those forbidden relationships of incest and other things like that, those seem to be so beyond the pale. The Sfas Emes says, trust me, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says we're not allowed to do it, it's because somewhere, maybe buried very, very deep within us, that desire exists. That's why the Gemara says, Ein apotropos la'arayos. If a person thinks that they are beyond the desire for immorality, absolutely, unequivocally, not true. Most people give them the opportunity to do something immoral, and unfortunately, the teva of man is that we'll do it. Ein apotropos, there's no safeguards against immorality. What is true for the negative, though, is also true for the positive. Therefore, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands me to do something, by definition, it means that I have the inner ability to do it. So says the Sfas Emes something amazing. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells me to love Him, so what does that mean? Says the Sfas Emes, what does that mean? It means that I can. That the mechanism to love God, this is very important. We often go through life thinking that we have to acquire tools to be spiritually proficient. That we have to acquire tools to be spiritually successful. It's not true, says the Sfas Emes. Everything I need to be spiritually successful already exists and resides within. The only thing I need to do is access it, identify it, and utilize it.
Therefore, says the Sfas Emes, when the Torah tells me, what the Torah is really telling me is what? That the mechanism and tools to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu are already within me. I don't have to figure out how to love God. I have to figure out how to awaken the mechanisms within. And once I awaken those mechanisms, love for the divine will be automatically triggered. The challenge then becomes what? Not how to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather how to awaken the internal mechanisms to allow love for the divine to actively flourish. Let's finish this last sentence. It says about Tzarech, last two lines. We have to awaken this desire that resides within to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and literally to actualize it from potential to kinetic energy. Says the Sfas Emes, this is amazing. This is very important. The mitzvah of Yehafta, says the Sfas Emes, doesn't mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because again, the Sfas Emes is bothered by it, everybody else is bothered by it. How can you legislate emotion? The mitzvah of Yehafta means reach deep inside and try to find and activate the mechanisms and tools that will allow for a love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the obvious question then becomes, so how do we reach inward and activate those tools? Take a look at number 8. So Rashi HaKadosh says something amazing. Rashi says, via hafta. And I want to tell you, before I saw this Sfas Emes, I always understood this Rashi in a different way. Rashi says, what does it mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Asay devarav me'ahava. What does that mean? Asay devarav me'ahava. Serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu like you love him. Like you love him. Now, what does that mean? What is Rashi coming to teach us? Rashi's bothered by the same thing that all of us are bothered by, which is how can you legislate love? How can you tell me I have to feel a certain way? To which Rashi's saying, you're right. The Torah HaKadosh is not telling me how I have to feel. Torah is telling me, because remember, according to Rashi, the Torah never tells me how to feel. Torah tells me what to do. So what does V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha mean? Asay devarav me'ahava. When you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so there are two ways you could do the mitzvos. To give you a very simple way. If my wife asks me to take out the garbage, she doesn't have to ask. I do it on my own. I want to be clear. My wife asks to take out the garbage. There are two ways. There are two ways I can do that. I could say, fine, and I'll do it. And I could have that look on my face like I'd rather be doing anything other than this. Or I could, you know, right? Mitzvah saseh shel shalom bayis, and I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to take out the garbage. Now, you'll say to yourself, what's the difference between those two processes? At the end of the day, who cares how you do it? And what's most important is that you do it. Says Rashi, it's not true. Because sometimes how you do something, this is very important, how you do something influences how you feel. And therefore, again, if I go ahead and I take out the garbage, because I realize, all kidding aside, that taking out the garbage is actually a small act of building my shalom bayis, then suddenly, again, I feel totally different. Then suddenly, after the little that garbage can closes, I actually feel somewhat accomplished because I've done something substantive to build and to bolster my home, to build and to bolster my marriage, and to build and to bolster the love in my life. Says Rashi, the same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are two ways you could do mitzvos. You could do them just to get by. You know, I do what I need to do in order to be a good, compliant, observant Jew, or maybe in order to avoid punishment. That's one way of doing things. Do I feel good about it? Not particularly, but I'm kind of trying to hedge my bets. I want to make sure that after 120, I go to the desired location, not to the other place. So I'm doing what I need to do kind of in order to get by. Says Rashi, understand, that yields a particular type of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you engage in just what's simply called behavioral Judaism, where you have a checklist, right? You have the checklist, whatever the checklist is. Mitzvah A, check, B, check, C, check, D, check. Fine, I've accomplished, I've avoided punishment, and I've even accrued a little bit of schar, a little bit of reward. Have I changed myself? Absolutely not. Says Rashi, V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha is not God legislating emotion. It's God legislating behavior, and that when I do my mitzvos, I have to do it like I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I don't feel in love with God. Some of us really don't feel in love with God. It's okay, says Rashi. Just keep doing it like you love it. And what will happen after enough time where you keep doing it like you love it? Something amazing happens. Look at number 10. Writes the Sefer HaChinuch. Ki acharei ha-pe'ulos nimshachim ha-levavos. This is a very important idea. You know, we live in an age where there is an incredible thirst for spirituality. That's, by the way, you know, not that I think it's clear, you know, we definitely live in the dawn. I don't know if it's the dawn of the late morning or the early afternoon of the Messianic era. It's Aschalta de Geula. We're on Aschalta de Geula, are we? I don't know. I'm not a Navi. But I will tell you something amazing. What does the Navi say? That before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a lo rav lalechem v'lo tzama lamayim kim nishmoa es divrei Hashem. Right? We live in a time where there is such a desire for ruchnius, such a desire for spirituality. Everyone wants it. When I say everyone, by the way, it's not just Klal Yisrael. You know, you don't know from such things here in Eretz Yisrael. You're in your cocoon of Kedusha, Baruch Hashem. But you know, in Chutz La'aretz, I always find one of the most amazing things is even when you see, you know, icons from pop culture, movie stars. You know, it's an amazing, just Lahavdil, Madonna, right? So Madonna, I think now she goes by Esther. She's learning Kabbalah. Tom Cruise joined the Church of Scientology, right? I think it's an incredible muster for us because what it says is these are people who have everything the way the world defines everything. They have more money than God, more money they could spend in 10 lifetimes, right? They've got cover. They're accomplished in their own way, right? And it's amazing. And at the end of that, it's not enough. At the end of that, there's what? There is still some desire, ultimately, for some ruchnius. There's a void, there's a hole, there's an opening. It's an incredible musa for us, because what takes sometimes people from the outside world years and years and years to come to understand, we understand from mitchila that a fulfilling life is only one in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my anchor, is my foundation stone, is my cornerstone. But the problem is, so we all know we want spirituality. The problem is what? The problem is what? Oh, I want God. Oh, but now I have to work for it. You mean it doesn't just come to me? I'm sitting on my couch, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm ready. I'm ready. Fill my heart. I'll even put down the remote. Right? Fill my heart with spirituality. Just fill it up. It takes work. It takes years of work. It takes sacrifice. That's where it gets a little bit more difficult for us. So says Rashi, something amazing. Do you want to know how to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It's almost like a Pavlovian behavioral modification type of approach. Keep on doing me'ava. Act as if you love him. Do the mitzvos as if you love him. And then something amazing happens, which is what? One day you'll wake up and you will actually feel it. The challenge, says Rashi, is it could be years. It could be a lifetime until a person feels it. But if you keep on this course, says Rashi, Ase devarav me'ava, then acharei ha-pu'ulos nimshachos ha-levavos. One day, your actions will shape our. See, people often think that spirituality begins here and ends here. It's not true. Spirituality begins with my hands and feet. It begins with things that I do. And it ends in my heart. So ultimately, serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if you love him. You know, there's a beautiful story that Rabbi Tursky tells. Rabbi Tursky once says that he was at a psychiatric conference, and he was sitting across, there was one of the presenters was speaking, he was sitting across from a world-renowned psychiatrist, and during the presentation, he sees the guy, he's sitting across from him, this world-renowned psychiatrist, going like this with his mouth the whole time. So Rabbi Tursky writes, he says, it looked like, you know, the patients took over the asylum. He says, what's happening over here? So Rabbi Tursky went over to this guy afterwards and said, excuse me, sir, doctor, whatever, you'll excuse me, fascination, but what were you doing the whole time? See, he says something amazing. So this world-renowned psychiatrist said, he said, you know, sometimes I don't feel like smiling. And I found that if I manipulate my mouth enough in the formation of a smile, over time it takes. Over time it remains. Truth is, like most things, we had it all before, because that's what the Sefer HaChinuch is saying. Acharei ha-pu'ulos nimshachos ha-levavos. That sometimes, again, happiness, spirituality, fulfillment, love, whatever you could fill in blank for it, it doesn't start with a feeling. It starts with actions. And when you act a certain way, those actions ultimately yield emotional realities. And Rashi HaKadosh, and you have to understand, I could stop here and it would be enough. Because this Rashi, I'm going to go on a little bit, but Rashi is saying something so amazing. Rashi is saying, I know sometimes you don't feel it. I know sometimes, and we all have those prayers, we just don't feel it. I know you don't feel it, but it's okay. We'll discuss why we don't feel it. Even in those moments where you don't feel it, you still, asay devarav me'ava, pretend, fake it a little bit. Do what you need to do to move forward, at least in a behavioral fashion. At least it should be that when somebody looks at you, it looks like you're in love with that Kaddish Baruch Hu. And even if you don't feel it, just keep doing it. And the good news is, give it some time, but here is the one absolute surety. Here is the one absolute truth. The time will come when you will feel it. Some of us, it takes a little longer. Some of us, it takes a little shorter. But ultimately, again, at the end of the day, that emotional love will certainly come. So that's approach number three. Now let's take a look at approach number four. The Rabbeinu Bechai, number 11. So Rabbeinu Bechai, and I'm sorry, before we go on. So according to this approach, remember, this. Let's loop this back to the Svas Emes. Because what did the Svas Emes say? V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha means what? According to Svas Emes number 7. Access the tools within. Right? Remember, again, it's already there. The ability to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already there. All I need to do is what? Is access it. Now we bring this all together. How do I access it? That's what Rashi's telling us. You know how you access the love? Do. Act in a loving way towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do the mitzvos in a loving way. And you know what will happen? Is ultimately you will access those internal tools for love. Ultimately, over time, that love will come. Yes? It's an excellent question. So the answer is you have to be a very, very good actress. The question is, in terms of, let's say, chinuch for one's children, if, let's say, Rashi and the Svas Emes Sefer HaChinuch are saying that literally sometimes you have to fake it a little bit. You actually have to act as if you're in love with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you're not. So the question was asked, what about if children, as we know, are quite perceptive? What if they're able to pick up on these things? I would say, so leaving all kidding aside, I think actually there's an incredible chinuch lesson in this. And I think if you teach your children the lesson that there are times that ima, abba, mommy, daddy don't feel it. But you know what? A true Eved Hashem goes forward anyway. I think that's incredible chinuch. Because if you teach your children that Judaism is all highs, all spiritual highs, and mamish, if you're a Jew and you're one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're walking on the clouds, they're going to feel a little bit let down when they get older, and life is not exactly like that. So I think it's a question of how to craft the message. So, you know, I'm saying it as faking it. Faking it maybe is not the right. You understand what I'm saying? I don't mean to be a faker. I mean just sometimes you have to push forward and do it with love, even if I'm not feeling it. So I'm being, or maybe the way to say it is like this. I am behaviorally honest, maybe a little emotionally dishonest. And says Rashi, that's okay. That's okay. And I think if you frame that in the right way as chinuch for children, I think it's a very empowering lesson. Take a look at number 11. Rabbi, yes?
But also practice makes you come genuine.
Correct. That's exactly what Rashi's saying. That is correct. Yes?
Maybe emotionally delayed.
Good. If that's probably even more politically correct. Wonderful. Absolutely. Good. I want to be clear. My terminologies are, and you come up with your own terminologies, and you'll tell me them afterwards. I'm sure they'll be better than mine. I'll use them when I speak somewhere next. You know, so take a look at number 11, Rabbeinu Bechai. So now our fourth approach. Remember, these are all, and I want to point out, these are not mutually exclusive approaches. These all work very beautifully together. The Rabbeinu Bechai says something very interesting. Vim Tishal, 11 Aleph. Vim Tishal v'tomar, kevan shematzinu shem ma'alas hachishek idolo mima'alas ha'ava. So Rabbeinu Bechai asks a very interesting question. If you want to use a word to speak about a loving and passionate relationship with God, the truth is, Ava is not the best word. What's the best word? Cheshek. Now, what does Cheshek mean?
Desire.
Now, desire, we will see, is even stronger than love. He goes on. Hayul olomar, v'chashakta es Hashem Elokecha. Why does it say v'yahavta, love? Let us say v'chashakta, you should desire HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'lama amar v'yahavta. Hatshuva b'zeh, Kiyanu says, and by the way, just the proof to that is if you skip to number 12 for just a moment, in the beginning of Parshas Kiseitze, again, this is one of the strangest mitzvos we have, or I should say not say mitzvos, but concepts we have. Kiseitze l'melchama l'avecha, you'll go out to war, you'll capture a woman, so interestingly enough, you'll desire her. Now, interestingly enough, chashakta doesn't just mean desire. Now, from this context, what else does chashakta mean? Passionate desire. What else? I'm sorry?
Lust. Want to marry?
You're a very pure lady. Oh, Hashem, no. It's not what it means. Not what it means. I'll leave it at that. So, interestingly enough, v'chashakta ultimately means also a desire without intellect. Right? Remember again, yefastar, this is like the worst move on an intellectual level anybody can make. It's bad on so many different levels. But v'chashakta means such a strong, overwhelming desire that literally intellect goes out the window. So asks the Rabbi Rabbi Chaye, if you want to tell me that I'm supposed to have a passionate bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why stop it via hafta es Hashem Elokecha? Why don't you call v'chashakta es Hashem Elokecha? I should desire HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I mean, lust after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Intellect goes out the window, all I want. And by the way, I want to point out, I didn't put this aside, but the Rambam in Yisod HaTorah, the quote in the beginning, the Rambam actually says, Ketzad avas Hashem, how, what should love of God look like? He actually says, Ke'avas ish li'isha. The Rambam actually compares. He says that our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be like human love. That's what he compares it to. That desire, that attraction, that want, that should be present. So Asa ben Bechaye, why don't you say v'chashakta as Hashem Elokecha? Look what he writes. He says, "Hatshuva bazeh ki ano senes shari aohev hu mishoiv hadavra av ula asit tishtachach mimenu haava keiz kigon beis haochel beis hashina ava mishachoshik im achshavto nifredes min achoshok." I feel so. The Rabbi Nachman says he's still strengthening the question. He says, "You know, if you love something, here's this interesting. If you love something, is it always on your mind? No." No, the truth is, I could love someone. Am I thinking about them at every time? I might tell them I'm thinking about them all the time, right? But at the end of the day, I could not think about that person I love. I could be occupied with something else. I'm not thinking about that person or that thing. Cheshek, however, chashak, when you desire something, that's all consuming. That's all consuming. I can't stop thinking about it. So is it a bit of a, I'm sorry? It's an obsession. So ask Rabbi Mechai, so why doesn't the Torah say v'chashakta es Hashem Elokecha? So his answer is amazing. 11 B's. V'im kein me'atam azeh lo haya yochum v'chashakta ki ilu haya choshek osal haya mafrid machshavta mikol adram ha'gufnim ha'ila v'lo haya mishtamish v'em kol ikar v'ach b'muchrochim v'lo haya mako n'mitzah satara klal ki lashen cheshek in yonu devekus. Skip down a little bit. So let me tell you this outside. So Rabbeinu Bechai essentially gives two ideas. He says that we can't be v'chashakta with God. Why can't we be v'chashakta with God? Because if I was obsessed and desired that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what would happen? I wouldn't pay attention to my physicality. If all I was about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means all I'm putting the emphasis on is my spirituality, then what happens to my guf? I won't sleep enough. I won't eat enough. I won't take care of myself. I'm going back to our first year. That self-love won't be there. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no, via hafta. So via is amazing. So via hafta means, I want you to love me, but I want you to love me in a way that what? You're also able to take care of yourself, and you're also able, I'm going to use a very slippery word, you're able to be normal. Judaism is a normal religion. Which is why if you see people doing abnormal things or behaving in abnormal ways, that's not Yiddishkeit. That is someone's misinterpretation of Yiddishkeit. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's why again, If Torah makes your life miserable, if mitzvos are too hard for you, if Torah, Jewish life is too overwhelming, I'm telling you, I mean, you'll consult your local Orthodox rabbis, but I'm telling you, it's because you're doing something wrong. Torah is pleasant. The Torah is beautiful. And everything about Judaism is magnificent and is uplifting. Doesn't mean it's not challenging, but there's something being challenging and making you miserable. If it makes you miserable because you feel too overwhelmed, it means somehow, some way, you're not doing it right. And therefore, says Rabbi Nevi'chai, something amazing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I could have said, V'chashakta Hashem Elokecha, I want your life to be all about me and nothing but me. Says Rabbi Nevi'chai, it's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants V'ahavta. And what does V'ahavta mean? Now, again, this could be interpreted in many different ways. I'll just give you two. V'ahavta means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, again, wants us to be known. Meaning, I think, what Rabbi Nevi'chai is saying is, He wants us to be in the world. He wants us to accomplish. He wants us to do. He doesn't only want us focusing on our spirituality. He doesn't only want us focusing on our soul. He wants us, yes, focusing on our physicality, but more importantly, He also wants us to build up the world around us. He wants us to accomplish. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to make a difference. And I would posit, again, remember, not just for Eretz Yisrael. Remember when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Adam HaRishon the mandate, V'kiv Shuha, which the Ramban understands to subdue and to advance the world, that's for the entire world. The mitzvah to be a Or LaGoyim, a light unto the nations, is for the entire world. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, I want you to love me, I want you to serve me, but I also want you to accomplish things in the greater world. I don't want your head only in the Sefer Tehillim. I don't want your head only in the Gemara. I don't want your head only in the Siddur. I want it there a lot of the time. I definitely want it there a lot of the time. And whenever you have time, that's what I want it to be. But I also want you to roll up your sleeves. And I want you to do. And I want you to accomplish. And I want you in some substantive physical way to actively better the world around you. That's V'ahavta. Otherwise, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu only wanted us for Him, says Rabbi Nevi'chai, He would have used the word v'chashakta. Oh, I think it teaches us one other lesson, which is, and this is another very important idea. Remember what Rabbi Nevi'chai said? Yes.
Is there an exception? I'm thinking of tzaddikim.
Definitely. To every rule, there are exceptions. Are there individuals who have to spend their life in a chashakta as Hashem? Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I want to be clear. Whenever we speak, we're always speaking in terms of the normative general mandate. But of course, there are always exceptions to every single rule. So one of the pieces, what Rabbi Nevi'chai also teaches us, and this is also very important, which is that the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu waxes and wanes. Waxes and wanes. What does that mean? Remember what Rabbi Nevi'chai said? That if you love someone, do you have to think about them? Do you think about them all of the time? I mean, it's nice too, but you also can be focused on other things. What Rabbi Nevi'chai is also teaching us is that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, relationship with God, has peaks and valleys. There are sometimes we're tight, sometimes we're not so tight. He's always tight with us. The Shaila just is the level of tightness we have with Him. There are sometimes where we feel passionately connected, and sometimes we don't. And this is exceptionally important, because sometimes we think that if we don't feel enlightened, uplifted, or inspired, there's something wrong with us. It's important to know, no one always feels inspired. I'll tell you something amazing. There's a small sefer written by Rav Vachtfogel, was a mashgiach in the Lakewood Yeshiva. And he writes, it's more of just about his life experiences. And he has a section in there about Yom Kippur. And in it, he writes that there were a couple of times throughout his life where he felt totally uninspired on Yom Kippur. This is Rav Vachtfogel, right? The Mashkiach on the Lakewood Yeshiva, one of the premier yeshivas, not just in America, but in the world. And the Mashkiach just sometimes he just didn't feel inspired. It happens sometimes that a person just doesn't feel uplifted. Now, obviously, our job is to try to battle through that and to get to a state of inspiration. But understand that sometimes peaks and valleys are part of the nature of the fabric of our relationship with God. No one is always inspired. We have our peaks, we have our valleys, we wax and we wane. And by the way, it makes perfect sense because it's no different than any other relationship. A person can have a beautiful marriage. In every single marriage, there'll be peaks and there'll be valleys. A person can have a beautiful friendship. Again, you plug in the relationship. If it works for every other relationship, it certainly works for HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. And this is an exceptionally important yesod. That every the chashakta would mean constant intensity. Constant peak. Via hafta, sometimes we're engaged, sometimes we're not as engaged, sometimes we're passionate about each other, sometimes we're not as passionate about each other. And again, that's part and parcel, that's part of the course of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's, again, that's Rabbeinu Bechaye, two lessons. Number one, relationships will wax and wane. Number two is HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want us to be only ruchni, only spiritual people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be gashmi, physical people as well. Not only to care for our bodies, but also to go ahead and to accomplish things in the greater physical world around us. Yes?
The last sentences of Rabbi Bechaya, which have to do also with your approach six, that Hashem is not like that. Hashem
right, correct. The idea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always wants us, is always obsessed by us. It's us who have the waxing waning, absolutely. Take a look at number 13, fifth approach. So look, this is the Gemara Maseches Yomos. The Gemara says, Amar Abaye, V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha, a beautiful, beautiful idea. Sheyehe Shem Shamayim Misahev Al Yadecha. The name of God, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should be made beloved through your actions. What does that mean? Sheyehe Kori V'shonu M'shamish L'midi Chachamim. Person should learn. Person should serve Torah scholars. V'he Masau U'masano B'nachas M'abrios. You should know how to speak nicely with other people. So if you're the kind of person that takes care of Torah scholars, you're the kind of person, what does that mean? It means you respect Torah, and you're the kind of person that, what that means is, you're the kind of person who knows how to operate in the halls of spirituality, but you're also the kind of person who knows how to get along with other people. You know how to talk, you know how to conduct yourself. So mahabrios, omro salav, what do people say about such an individual? Ashrei aviv shalom de Torah. Praiseworthy is this person's father who taught him Torah. Ashrei rabo shalom de Torah. Praiseworthy is his Rebbe who taught him Torah. In other words, what is the Gemara saying? Abai is giving us a radically different interpretation. So Abai is teaching us that what does it mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It means be an ambassador of God. That everything you do in life should be mekadeshim shamayim. Everything you do in life should sanctify the name of heaven. So what that means is that everything I do, when a person looks at me, they should say, oh, that person is a Torah Jew. My actions should say to that person, wow, being a Torah Jew is something very beautiful. And this, by the way, I think is the hardest definition. Because everything else we've learned until now has been about me. What this means is how I conduct myself on the supermarket checkout line. How I conduct myself when I'm driving. Two very difficult feats in this country. Right? How I conduct myself in those interpersonal arenas. So that says Abai, that's Yahavta Hashem Elokecha. So when someone sees me and I hold myself to a higher standard, even if those around me are not. Even if those around me don't hold themselves to a higher interpretation, but I do, because I want to be the ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because when people look at me, I want them to see my actions for what they are, a reflection of what Torah Judaism really is, says Abaye. That's how you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So interestingly enough, Abaye, like Rashi before, it's not a behavioral mandate. Torah is not telling me how to feel. Torah is telling me how to act, but not just act vis-a-vis myself, act vis-a-vis the other. Make sure that your actions make HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name beloved in the eyes of others. And finally, we come to our last approach for today, and then we'll bring it all together. So, actually, let's a quick review as to what we've accomplished until now. So remember, we're trying to figure out what does it mean to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could God command us to love Him? Approach number one, the Eben Ezra. Listen, God is all we got. So we don't have much of a choice. You might as well love Him. Second approach, the Rambam, nature. Appreciate the natural world. And from that, you will come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rav Soloveitchik echoed that approach. Approach number three, the Svas Emes, Rashi, and the Sefer HaChinuch. You don't need to come to love God because the tools are within. You just need to activate them. How do you activate them? You activate them behaviorally. Act in a way that looks like you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Acharei ha'pulos nimshachos ha'levavos. After the actions, the heart is forged, the heart is formed. Enough time of acting in a loving way, you will come to love. Approach number four, it doesn't say v'chashakta. Instead it says v'yahavta. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want our love for Him to be all-consuming to the exclusion of everything else. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to recognize the relationship will wax and wane. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be in the spiritual world while at the same time becoming captains and successful in the physical world as well. Approach number five, be the ambassador of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shehei Shem Shemayim Yisai Val Yadecha. Let the name of heaven be sanctified through you. Act in a way that my actions step. By the way, the Torah itself tells us this. This is the concept you should know of v'yisem nikiyim. V'yisem nikiyim means that I should live in a way that my actions stand on their own. They don't need interpretation. They don't need explanation. They don't need Rashi. My actions are able to be interpreted for the goodness that they are supposed to represent. And through that, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sanctified. Finally, this leads us for our last couple of minutes to approach number six. So number 17. Va'idabra Hashem al Moshe Leimar. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe the following. Dabra l'kaladas b'nei Yisrael v'amarta alehem. Kidoshin tiyu, ki kadosh ani Hashem alokechem. So remember again, so this of course is, this is a very intriguing pasuk in general, number 17 on your sheet. Because again, remember, what does this mean? And it's intriguing on two levels. First of all, what does it mean to be kadosh? What does it mean to be holy? And there's a much rabbinic literature about this. But the question I also want to draw your attention to is the verbiage of the pasuk itself. Kidoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Be holy. Why? Why? Because I, God, am holy. Which almost sounds like it's linking our holiness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's holiness. But the Ribono Shel Olam is the Ribono Shel Olam, meaning He defies everything. He defies all comprehension. So what does it mean when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is linking His holiness, or I should say, He's linking my holiness with His holiness? So take a look at number 18. So what is it that makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Remember, there are many defining features that make HaKadosh Baruch Hu holy. But what is the most defining feature of God's holiness? So remember, number 17 is in Parshas Kedoshim. If you go back one Parsha, number 18, in Parshas Acharimus, so the Torah says by the Avodah of Yom Kippur, the Chippur al Hakodesh mitumos bnei Yisrael mikot mipishem milochol chatasam. Literally, he shall effect atonement upon the holy from the defilements of the children of Israel and from their rebellions and all their intentional sins. This is speaking about the kapar, the atonement of Yom Kippur. And watch this: vechein yasa li al moed hashochein itam besoch tumasam. Listen to how the Torah refers to God. God is the one who dwells within us, or dwells with us, besoch tumasam, amidst all of their defilements. Look at Rashi HaKadosh comments in 19. Hashochin itam besoch tumasam, afa pi shehen tameim, shchina b'neim. Even though we are tamei, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with us. What is Rashi coming to convey to us? And this goes back to what we mentioned before also. The v'chashakta, God does have the v'chashakta for us, even though we don't have to have the v'chashakta for Him. The amazing part, says Rashi, is that the Ribono Shel Olam never leaves our side. Leaving aside, by the way, extreme situations like Hester Panim. We're not going to get into that right now. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu never leaves our side. No matter what we do, no matter how much we defile ourselves, no matter how much we sully ourselves, no matter what we do or we don't do, Hashochin itam besoch tumasam, says Rashi, afa pi shehin tameim, even if we are tamei, shechina b'neim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always with us. In other words, that what is the defining characteristic of the Ribono Shel Olam? The defining characteristic of God is? The defining characteristic of God is? Consistency. The Ribono Shel Olam is consistent, always consistent. In fact, again, Rachmana Litzlan, a person loses a loved one, and at Levaya, as they're filling in the keder, there is a tefillah that is said, Tziduk Hadin, acceptance of judgment. How does that tefillah begin? Hatzur. Tzur means what? My rock. You ever wonder why we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu our rock? Why our rock? Because you know what the amazing part about a rock is? You can count on it. Hey, it's there. You know, we have in our backyard, we have a boulder, literally like a boulder. When I first moved into our house, there's a boulder in the middle of the yard. I wanted to have it removed. Then someone told me, no, it's actually very fashionable. It's very chashev to have a boulder. People pay money for all that. I said, oh, it's fashionable and chashev. I'll keep it. I'll tell you, it's amazing. So now I look at that boulder. It's an amazing thing. We've been living in our house that we're in now for 10 years. And it's amazing. I've seen my children grow up. And I've seen so many things in life change over a decade. You know what the one thing that hasn't changed over a decade?
The boulder.
It's an amazing, amazing musr. That's why we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a moment of greatest pain. Hatsur, you're the rock. Because you know what the amazing part is? Everything in life changes. Everything in life changes. You know, a person has a loving relationship. We think that our relationships will be here forever. It's a sobering and morose thought. But the person never knows how long they're going to have their loved ones. And it's important that a person thinks in that way. Because if you realize that nothing is guaranteed forever, it causes you to act, causes you to take advantage of every moment you do have. There's only one thing in life that is consistent. And that's Hatsur. That is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Rashi is saying. The Ribono Shel Olam is always there. We don't have time for it, but in 21, Rabbi Yitzhak Gaberditchev, he comments on this idea as well. He says that this is the concept that we say about everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. In fact, if you look at number 20, the Mishnah Maseches Baruch Hu says, Chayiv Adon Levarech Al Ara, Kashem Shem Levarech Al HaTova. We're obligated to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to bless God for that which is what we perceive as evil, in the same way that we bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that which is good. And the Rebbe explains number 20, which we're not going to do inside, but the Rebbe explains why is that? Because at the end of the day, everything that comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Tov. He says just sometimes Tov is obvious, sometimes Tov is explicit, sometimes Tov is embedded in many different layers of pain. And the good only comes out much later on. The Ribono Shel Olam, says the Rebbe, is consistent. That's why the Rebbe explains very beautifully that at the end of the first bracha of Shmona Esrei, how do we end that first bracha? Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham. Avram Avinu represents what? Chesed. The Rebbe says we end the first bracha of Shmona Esrei Chesed Magen Avraham because at the end of the day, Me'ito Lo Teitzei Hara. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for us is good, is beautiful, is loving. Sometimes it's clear and explicit. Sometimes it takes a long time. But Ribono Shel Olam is consistent. Divine love is consistent. Why is this important for us? We're going to end with this last source, 22. What makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu as great as He is His consistency. Ashochin itam b'soch tu masam. Look at 22 again. I'll just tell you this, and we have to end in 2 minutes. So I'm just going to tell you this very quickly. 22. Ma'aseh b'shnei b'nei Adam. Amazing Gemara Masech Shabbos. There was an episode with two people. Shehimru zezeh. Amru. Komi sheyelech v'yaknit eshilo yitol arba me'ozuz. Two people made a wager. What was the wager? Whoever could get Hillel angry, they put in a pot 400 zuz. Whoever gets Hillel angry will get the 400 zuz. Okay? A little too much time on their hands. Amar echamehem. So one of the guys said, Aniak niteno. I am, they don't come a bigger nudnik than me. I will get Hillel angry. Listen to what they did. So what's happening is Erev Shabbos, Hillel is shampooing, right? Hillel's taking a bath, he's taking a shower, he's getting ready for Shabbos. Halach va'avra Pesach beso. So we'll call him the nunnik. The nunnik comes to Hillel's house. He begins to knock on the door. Amar, mikan Hillel. Is Hillel here? Is Hillel here? You know, somebody called, the phone rings, you know, 10 minutes before Shabbos. It must be something incredibly urgent, right? The guy's at my house, he's at Hillel's house 10 minutes before Shabbos. Is Hillel here? Is Hillel here? And this atif, can you imagine this? Hillel throws on his robe. He comes out. What is it? Amar lo bini, mata mevakish. My son, tell me, what do you need? Must be urgent. Amar lo she'ela yesh li lishol. Rebbe, I have a very important question. Amar lo she'al bini, please ask. Mipnei maro she'en shal bavlim sagu galos. Why do the Babylonians have round heads? It's Erev Shabbos. Somebody tried this on me. Right? I have round heads. It's 10 minutes before Shabbos. Hillel is literally in his towel. He's coming out of the shower trying to answer this guy's questions. Why do the Babylonians have round heads? Amar lo bini she'ela gedola she'alta. Oh, my son, that's an excellent question. Mipnei she'ela and chayos pikos. Because they do not have proficient Midwives, thank you. Right? They don't have proficient midwives. So I guess the midwives are not careful with the heads of the baby when they come out. So the Babylonians had a little misshapen heads. Fine. So the guy goes away. A little while later he comes back. Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Again he comes yelling. Is Hillel here? Is Hillel here? I'm sorry. I'll skip the line. Mikan, Mikan. So again, Hillel is still in the bath, coming out, wraps himself in the towel. Yes, what can I do for Amar lo b'ni? Matam v'akish. So what can I do for you? Amar lo she'ila yesh li l'shal Rebbe. I have a very important question. Amar lo sha'al b'ni sha'al. Mipnei ma'in le'en shal tamrudoin terutos. Why do the Talmudians have slanted eyes? This is what he's asking him 5 minutes before Shabbos. Amar lo b'ni she'ila gedola sha'alta. Excellent question. Mipnei shadarim b'na cholos. Because they live among the sands, and I guess because they always had to squint, I guess over time their eyes became a little bit more slanted. So because of time, we're going to have to address this outside. This happens a number of different times. Finally, go down 2, 4, 5 lines up from the end of the Gemara. So this guy is not getting Hillel angry. Much to his chagrin, he's not getting Hillel angry. Amar lo, so finally he decides to pull out all the stops. Amar lo, she'elos harbe lishol yesh li lishol. Rebbe, I have many questions I have to ask you. Or misyare anisha matichos, but I'm afraid you're going to get angry at me. So what is he doing? He's baiting Hillel. He's baiting him. Right? Oh, Rebbe, I have so much to ask you, but I don't want you to. Am I upsetting you? Am I annoying you? Am I getting on your nerves at all? Maybe even just a little bit? I have so many questions I want to ask, but I don't want you to get angry. So listen to this. Nis'atev v'yashav lefanav. Hillel pulled his robe a little tighter. Amar lo, kol she'elos she'yesh lechal lishol, sha'al. Whatever you got, bring it on. Right? Whatever questions you have, ask away. So listen, now the guy realized he lost the bet. So what does he say? Amar lo, atohu Hillel shekorin oscha nasi Yisrael. You Hillel, you're the great nasi of the Jewish people. Amar lo, hein. Hillel said yes. Amar lo, atohu lo yirbecha kamoscha b'Yisrael. So the guy curses Hillel. He says, if you're Hillel, there should be no more like you in the Jewish people. Hillel, of course, saying, what just happened over here? I spent my whole Erev Shabbos with this guy trying to go and answer his stupid questions, and now he's angry at me? Amar lo, b'ni mipnei ma, why are you so upset? Amar lo, mipnei sha'avarati al yadcha arba meos zuz. Because of you, I just lost 400 zuz. Amar lo, so skip down a little bit, he says, kidayu Hillel, shetovad al yadcha arba meos zuz, v'arba meos zuz, v'hillel yo yakbid. Better for you to lose 400 zuz after 400 zuz. Hillel's not going to lose his temper. Now, what's the amazing part about this Gemara? The Gemara, on one hand, is just telling us the greatness of Hillel. And again, this is part of a much larger discussion of Hillel. And the greatness of Hillel was his incredible mitos. But what I want to draw to your attention in this Gemara is something else. It's not just that Hillel's mitos were great. It's that what? Is that Hillel was consistent in his good mitos. You see, the problem is all of us have good mitos. But then what happens when we're pushed a little bit too far, or when, again, it's inconvenient, or when I'm annoyed, or when someone's a nudnik, or when I get angry, or when someone does something that I don't like, or life doesn't go my way, we find a license to no longer apply those midos. The greatness of Hillel was not seen that he was a baal midos tavos, not just seen that he had good midos. The greatness of Hillel was that he was consistent in his application of midos. Hillel mastered the divine attribute of consistency. And perhaps, to look this the full way, that's the meaning of Kiddushim to you. What does it mean to be Kadosh? What does it mean to be Kadosh? Remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just say Kiddushim to you. He says, Kiddushim to you, ki Kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. God is saying, if you want to be Kadosh, I'm asking you, emulate me. How do you emulate the divine? What's the greatest aspect of the Ribbono Shel Olam? The greatest trait of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is consistency. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, you want to be Kadosh? You want Kedusha? Kedusha is only found in one place. Kedusha is only found in consistency. You see, if I burn bright sometimes, but then I just fizzle out, that's not Kedusha. Kedusha means the ability to maintain my spiritual blaze. It doesn't have to be a wildfire. Sometimes it's just a spark. But the ability to maintain that blaze, the ability to maintain those midos, the ability to maintain those character traits in all situations. Kedushim tiyu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, I want you to be consistent. And perhaps This is ultimately how we come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's our big problem? If we're honest with ourselves, we're amongst friends. It's a safe place. So what happens? What's our greatest problem with our relationship with God, if we're honest with ourselves? I'll speak for all of myself. I can't speak for anyone else. I think our greatest challenge is like this. I say, Ribono Shel Olam, I love you. I love you so much. But you know, I'm not quite ready to settle down. I think we should see other people. Right? Why should we limit ourselves, right? Why should we limit ourselves? I love you, you love me. But it's a whole world out there, because again, if I commit myself to you, that comes with a whole lot of responsibility. If I commit myself to you, that may require a whole bunch of sacrifice that I'm not really ready and willing to make. That becomes the Achilles heel in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not a lack of love. It's a lack of consistency and commitment. And so at the end of the day, if we really want Avas Hashem, if we really want to actualize our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not enough to do it in Elul, Yamim Noraim, alternate Tuesdays, or a summer women's learning program. A person has to be consistent in their Judaic identity. A person has to be consistent in their Avodas Hashem. And consistency, as we know, is one of the most difficult things. As I mentioned before, what happens? See, consistency means that there are days that I'm going to wake up and I don't feel it. And days I'm going to wake up and I'm just in a bad mood and I don't want to do it. And days in which life doesn't go my way. And days in which people upset me. And days in which things are not going according to plan. And true love means I'm in this no matter how I'm feeling. I'm in this whether I'm in the mood or not. I'm in this whether life goes according to my way or it doesn't go according to my way. Love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by definition, demands consistency. And that's why, interestingly enough, even if you look at the Pasuk, remember from Kriya Shema, V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol moedecha. And then what do we say? V'hayu ha'dvarim ha'ilah she'anochi mizadcha hayom al lavecha. And then what do we say? V'shinamtam levanecha. There has to be consistency with the way I raise my children. V'dibarta bam. The way I speak, when I'm at home, there has to be consistency of avodas Hashem, of service of God, everywhere in life. See, the problem is often we're a little bit spiritually schizophrenic, right? We have one standard when I'm in my house, but another standard when I'm at my place of work. One standard when I'm with my kids. Another standard when I'm with my friends. One standard when I'm with this group of friends. Another standard when I'm with this group of friends. One standard on Shabbos, another standard on during the week. And we have all of this compartmentalized spirituality. That's not how you'll never come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that you have to be Kaddish, you have to be holy like a Kaddish. Love requires a common denominator. And the common denominator of divine love is Kedusha. And just like a Kaddish Baruch Hu's Kedusha is ultimately manifest in his consistency, our Kedusha is manifest in our consistency as well. And only once we establish consistency in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then ultimately can we truly come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this, I can't stress enough. It's such low-lying fruit, but it's incredibly important. We have to establish for ourselves a pattern of behavior, adherence to ideas, ideals, characteristics, and midos that are with us no matter what is happening in life. At the end of the day, it's only where there is consistency in my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, consistency ultimately creates love. So we should hope that we should be Zoche Meretz Hashem. And in the merit of spending all of this time, and I apologize, I went over my time, but in the merit of spending all of this time in Avas Hashem, and I think that this is the most appropriate way to end out this series, because hopefully now you have all of the groundwork, all of the framework, all of the foundation for ultimately successful love in all areas of life. But specifically, you know, we're about to enter into a time of the Bein HaMetzarim, of the 3 weeks, and it's a time when our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was fractured. It's a time when our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was somewhat, it was strained. And now is a time that's especially misugal, especially ripe, to be able to work on our Avas Hashem. So we should be Zocha by employing all of the different mechanisms and approaches. But we should be Zocha over the coming days, weeks, months, and years to establish and reestablish and reinvigorate our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And halavai be Zocha to live every single day with V'yahavta Hashem Elokecha. Amen.
Thank you.